Welcome to Whitley Bay Baptist Church's podcast for Sunday, the 19th of April 2020. I'm Paul Newman, I'm the minister at Whitley Bay Baptist Church, and it's my joy to welcome you. In this podcast, there will be prayer, there will be a reading, a song, and a message. And we pray that as you use these resources, you will find you're able to focus on the presence of God, who is with us now and always. As we begin, listen to these words from Psalm 16 as translated in the Passion Translation. Because, Lord, you are close to me and always available, my confidence will never be shaken, for I experience your wraparound presence every moment. My heart and soul explode with joy, full of glory. Even my body will rest confident and secure, for you will not abandon me to the realm of death, nor will you allow your Holy One to experience corruption. For you bring me a continual revelation of resurrection life, the path to the bliss that brings me face to face with you. Amen. Crispian will now lead us in our prayer, and that will be followed by Pauline leading us in the reading for today from Luke chapter 24.
Our gracious Lord and loving Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we remember that this is the day that you have made, and therefore we rejoice and are glad to be here in your presence, and in the presence of our Christian brothers and sisters, and all who seek your face today. Our times change, our circumstances change, and recently have changed in ways we had never expected. But you never change. You are the same God yesterday and today, and will continue to be the same faithful, loving Father tomorrow, whatever comes our way then. Your mercies are new every morning, and your compassion never fails. Even if this last week has been a hard road for us to walk, maybe with bad and sad news to bear, we might still count our blessings and know that you are the one who provides for your children. We come before you in our weakness and poverty of spirit. We come as those who need to seek forgiveness and renewal. Forgiveness for wrongs we have done. Forgiveness for the things we should have done but did not. We ask in Jesus' name that you will forgive and restore us. We ask that you will help us to accept not being able to do all we want, because we are not able or not allowed to. We ask that we might be given wisdom and understanding by your Spirit within us, to comprehend what we need to know when there is so much that we do not understand. We thank you, Lord, that as we look out of the window, there are signs of new life all around us, as we see all the fresh newness of spring. May that be a sign of hope to us, that you have not and will not abandon your people, and that you have much work for us still to do, that we can do, even though we are shut in by circumstances. Lord, you are present in your world. You are at work in your world. Open our eyes to see it, to see the glory of your presence. Stir our hearts and minds to your grace. Then take our hands and work through us. Touch our mouths and speak through us. Warm our hearts and love through us. And Lord, as you abide in us, may we reveal you to others and see you in others. We ask these things with our heartfelt praise to you. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Now Lynn Gradwell is going to lead us in our prayers of intercession, and after that, Eric is going to sing the song, "Let Us Humbly Worship Jesus."
Let's pray together. Let's pause and be still and know God's presence with us. Thank you, Lord, that you are always with us, just waiting for us to meet with you. Holy Spirit, breathe on us as we come before you with our prayers. Father, we bring the wider world to you. We cry out to you, Lord, for mercy for the countries that are not as well resourced as we are. All those who are desperate and suffering and can't access help easily. We pray for all those who are working to help them. Lord, cover them with your love and strength and equip them with all they need. Lord, we pray that many will call out to you in these times, that many will come to know you and receive the gift of your salvation. Father, we bring our country to you. We pray for the NHS workers and carers, for all the key workers who keep us supplied with food and transport and all our daily needs. We ask your blessing on the government, scientists and medical experts. Lord, equip them with the skills they need and with your supernatural wisdom. Father, we bring our church family and community to you. Please add your own prayers as I pray. Lord, we pray for those of us already affected by the coronavirus, for those we know who are sick. for those who are grieving. For those worried about family and friends. For those living alone. For those who are lonely. For those working from home. For those with children at home. For those who are missing their family and friends. Lord, give us strength and courage. Help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to rise above the things going on around us. Thank you, God, that you are more than enough for us. Thank you that even though we are contained physically, we are free in spirit and mind. Use this time to transform us. Let us carry your presence with us wherever we are, wherever we go. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Let us humbly worship Jesus, who's so precious, so sweet. Bow our hearts in love before him, lost in wonder at his feet. Stay enraptured in the presence of the Saviour who has died. Blessing, honor, glory, power to the matchless crucified. For he lives and reigns among us, lives and reigns within our hearts. As we yield to his dominion, mountains fall and rivers part. Humbly worship Jesus, who's so precious, so sweet. Bow our hearts in love before him, lost in wonder at his feet.
Oh, it seems an awful lot longer going back than when we came into this situation, says one. I know, says the other. Who would believe the world could turn to this in such a short period of time? The fear of death, and with it the frightening prospect of separation and grief, seemed to hang in the air. And the mix of emotion, so evident in so many people, is unusual to say the least. Fear and grief mingled with bad news, and yet So many out on the streets the other day, cheering and shouting and applauding and banging instruments made out of pan lids for all the great work that has been done. Save lives, save lives, save lives, they shouted. I know, he said wearily. But now it has to be lockdown. In the light of how dangerous the situation is, we must go home and stay home and not contact others. She sighed. How could it come to this? I'm sure life will never be the same again. How can it be? They continued to walk in silence. Every yard of the journey seemed like 10. They had almost run up to Jerusalem a week ago to be there for the celebration, but the 7-mile walk home was going to seem to take forever from Jerusalem to Emmaus. At some point, fairly early on in their journey, they were joined by a third person who overheard some of their conversation and saw their long faces and the tear stains on their cheeks. "What is it you're discussing that has caused you so much pain?" asked the stranger. To which Cleopas responded sarcastically, "You're walking in the same direction as us, away from Jerusalem, and you don't know the things that took place there over this weekend." "What things?" "Tell me about them." So Cleopas and his wife Mary painfully recall their memories. All the bits and pieces of the story tumble out. It was all to do with the man called Jesus who had come down from Nazareth, whose arrival had been welcomed by many people crowding into the narrow streets, waving palm branches and shouting, "Hosanna!" He was a prophet, dynamic in word and deed, who was clearly blessed by God and was heralded by many of the people. Some of his closest followers were totally convinced that he was more than just a prophet, that he was the one, the Messiah, come to set Israel free from Roman oppression to fulfil God's calling. Then the high priests and leaders persuaded someone to betray him, plotted to have him sentenced to death by the Romans. Mary was able to say through her tears, "I saw him crucified and die on the cross." Cleopas took up the story. "It's now the third day since all that happened, and now some of our women have completely confused us. Early this morning they were at the tomb, couldn't find his body, and came back with a story that they'd seen angels who'd said he was alive again. Some of his closest friends went to the tomb to check it out and saw the empty tomb with no body in it. But they didn't see Jesus, dead or alive. 'It's all over,' they wailed. 'He was always talking about God's new kingdom that he was going to bring about. Not anymore.'" "I see," said the stranger. "Perhaps you haven't quite got the full picture. Did he ever talk to you about the things said by Moses and the prophets?" "All the time," they answered. So, saddened by the slowness of these people, the stranger went through the events again, but this time relating each fragment of their conversation to words to be found in the Hebrew books of the law and the prophets. As Eugene Peterson has written in Living the Resurrection, he showed them detail by detail how what had thrown them into bewilderment and confusion made perfect sense when seen and heard as part of what God has been doing and saying all along. Holy Scripture is an orientation in largeness and coherence. They were, as we say, getting the picture. They were so enthralled by what the stranger shared with them that they were on the edge of Emmaus before they knew it. The stranger kept walking as they began to turn off the road into their village, but they said, "No, please, break your journey and eat with us. We only have bread and wine, but that's more than many have." So he joined them at their table, and then something very odd happened. It was the custom, always followed, that the head of the household should pray the blessing and break the bread. But on this occasion, there was a new head of the household who took the bread and broke it with nail-scarred hands. In an instant, they knew, beyond a shadow of doubt, this was Jesus. Stunned, they looked at each other and said, "Why didn't we recognise it was him? Didn't our hearts burn with the flames of holy passion while we walked beside him? He unveiled for us such profound revelation from the scriptures." Well, by the time they'd said it, Christ had gone. But their tiredness had gone too. So as fast as they could, they returned to Jerusalem to be greeted with the news that the disciples there knew Jesus had risen, and as they rejoiced together, he joined them there. As well as blessing them with peace, he said, "This is what I told you about while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Not just what was said about the immediate events of his passion, crucifixion, and resurrection, but what was said about the future too. He would appear to them on other occasions and continue to teach them. The point would come when he would stop appearing to them and tell them to wait for something new, something even more astounding than all this. They were going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit from God so that they would be able to testify to Jesus and live the kingdom way, knowing that he continued to live and work in them and through them. Life would never be the same again. But with those two walkers from Jerusalem to Emmaus and all the other disciples, what had seemed to be just a pile of dust and ashes and broken promises was transformed into the foundation for all future blessings. We're probably confused and bewildered by the current coronavirus. We have a big fat why that we carry at the present time. Why has my elderly relative in a care home succumbed to the virus and died alone? Why has my family member come out of the virus but after such suffering? Why, when I'm working from home under lockdown, does my loved one have to go to work as a primary care provider, risking not just her own health, but the whole family's? Why in such a rich nation is there so little PPE? Why in the poorest nations of the world is there so little medical provision at all? Why does it look as if I may not have employment at the end of all this? Why can't I have the new car that should have been delivered in the first week of lockdown? Why, as a Christian who has kept myself pure for marriage, am I now unable to get married to my fiancé when we had arranged? Why has Grandad got to have a funeral with none of his friends there to remember him? Why can't I have my birthday party? And I've heard that from 6-year-olds, 30-year-olds and 60-year-olds in the last week. Why is there no sport, no theatre, no cinema? I've had the tickets booked for ages, but it's not happening. Why can't I go to church? I miss the people, I miss the worship, I miss the fellowship. Why will life be different after all this? Why has God allowed this to happen? Oh yes, we all carry a big fat why. And to the last of those questions, I have to trust myself to Romans 8, where I discover that no one I encounter and nothing that happens to me in this life is able to separate me from the love of Christ. I worship and seek to follow the risen Saviour, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through his resurrection, when this life of mine ends, I shall enter his life for eternity. I may have failed in many ways. I might not have achieved all I could have achieved for the kingdom. I'm flawed and broken and in need of healing and salvation. But they are what the cross promised me. And I stake all on that. Furthermore, as I do so, I know that I'm trusting the one who works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. The Passion Translation puts it this way. We're convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfil his designed purpose. COVID-19 cannot defeat God's purposes for you, me, or any other human being. John Piper has this week published a book entitled Coronavirus and Christ, in which he says, "This is a time when the fragile form of this world is felt. The seemingly solid foundations are shaking. The question we should be asking is, do we have a rock under our feet? A rock that cannot be shaken. Ever." Cleopas and his wife, walking home on the road to Emmaus, did so sensing that the ground they were walking on had been shaken beyond description. They were living in a spiritual earthquake. But as happens in the Gospels, when his disciples find themselves in that kind of situation, storm, plague, earthquake, persecution, they find that the risen Christ stands with them, enduring their plight with them. And at the end of it all, they and we can know that the risen Christ still stands. None of us would have chosen to live through or experience this present time. The future is unclear. The uncertainty is almost suffocating. But Christ's presence through it all and in the coming days is assured. In many ways, Christian people are having their world shaken as much as non-Christians. The ability to gather together is only possible to us through the virtual means offered us in this digital age. The normal way of doing things has been taken from us. Perhaps we need to take the opportunity to cry out to God for his guidance for the future, so that we do not return to a way of being his people but is out of kilter with his will. The first disciples, of whom it's most likely that Cleopas and Mary were a part, remained in lockdown for many days until the Holy Spirit broke into their lives with the amazing power of Christ's love at Pentecost. May God challenge us to the foundations of our life as Christ's body, so that, secure on that rock, we may be prepared to follow the Holy Spirit in the days to come. Amen. Let us pray. Transforming God, turning sorrow to joy, doubt to faith, despair to hope, and death to life, put your hand upon us, and in the coming days, continue to make us new. Turn our weakness into strength, our pride into humility, our anxiety into trust, and our faithlessness into obedience. Take what we are, and by your resurrection power, shape what we shall be through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, be with us all evermore. Amen.